All right. For the last several weeks, since I've been here, we've been talking about salvation. Can you bring up the house lights a little bit so I can see my people? Or the Lord's people, so I can see these people? Anyway, for the last several weeks, we have been talking about salvation. Since I got here, we've been talking about salvation. And now we've sort of moved into talking about the benefits of salvation. So we sort of had like a little mini sermon series where, you know, like a three-sermon arc where we talked about how, you know, our lives are, we're not in control. God's in control. Like if we were in control, like things like last night wouldn't have, well, I mean, they would happen because, anyway, craziness. What I mean is we are not in control. We don't control what's happening on planet Earth. We don't. We're out of control. And so we talked about overwhelm, how we can release the overwhelm, how God, like when we get overwhelmed by all the stuff that piles on top of us, how we can release that through prayer and through peace. And then last week we talked about just being bold in our faith. How if it's true that we're not in control, and if it's true that that we don't have to be overwhelmed, then we can be bold to ask for things that God wants us to have anyway. We can be bold in our faith with Jesus Christ. And so that's all awesome information. And so where that leads us to today is God gives us something to live for. Right? Here's another benefit of salvation. He gives you something to live for. I thought y'all might amen a little bit, but maybe not. Okay. Good. Good. I'm glad y'all agree with me. No, okay. God give it. So, I don't know if you've ever played video games or not, but whenever you first download or open up a video game or whatever, a new one, then a lot of times you'd be like, yeah, I'm ready to play. And so you pop it open and you've got only two characters are actually alive. There's a whole screen full of blacked out characters, right? But only you can only play with two of them, like Mario and Luigi or whatever. You have to defeat all of the other people to be able to play. I mean, when you first start, you can't even play with Princess Peach. It's just Mario and Luigi. That's it. That's all you got. And so you have to play the game and beat it and play it and play it and play it and play it. And the more you play, the more characters open up. So that's cool. I think what our lives are like pre-Jesus, it's like that. The only characters in your story are you and maybe your mama, right? Everybody else in your life is just sort of grayed out. They don't really matter. But when Jesus comes in, then the whole character storyboard opens up. Now we can't just care about ourselves. We have to care about the entire world. And that's exciting because it gives us something to live for. It's not just about us. It's not just about our lives. Because how boring would a life be led only worried about you? Because you're not that cool. I mean, I'm just telling you, you're not. So, and I think a lot of time, like, I think our young people are really struggling today because there's not a whole lot of Jesus in America. And when you're young, do you remember being young? I mean, guys like Gene can't, but do you remember when you were young, when you were, like, just itching to be passionate for something, like in your 20s, I want to be passionate for something. And you can see this happening on college campuses all around America, like how, you know, we save the whales or save the environment. Or do you remember the one where they camped out outside of Wall Street, you know, like the We Are the 99. You remember that mess? And this is a side story, but do you think any billionaire was watching them sleep in outside and thought, oh, I should give some of my money away? I don't think that was very effective. Nonetheless, you know, we see college campuses right now that are being overtaken by protests about the Israeli and Palestine war. It's a mess, but our young people want to be passionate for something. They want something to live for, all right? You don't even, when you're 20, you don't even know who you are yet, but you're trying to figure it out, and so you want to be passionate in a certain direction. For me, that was ministry and Jesus and stuff, and so that worked out well for you guys, because here I am. I did not plan that. That was not in my notes. All right. So let's look at somebody in the Bible here, because we're not going to talk about me. All right. So let's talk about Moses. He was a basket case. A couple of them got it. A couple of them got it. In my preparation for this, I was going to pause there to see how many got it. He was literally a basket case. Okay, so Moses grew up basically the foster grandson of Pharaoh, of the king. So he was born a Hebrew, and at that time they were killing all the Hebrew children, and so he got out of it. He escaped it by basically being raised by the king or Pharaoh's daughter. So he grew up in the lap of luxury. He grew up in the king's house. He grew up basically the foster grandson of the king. And so what a way to grow up. That'd be awesome. But he was Hebrew. He did not necessarily belong there. And so here we're going to pick up with, this is when Moses is older. All right, we're going to pick this up in chapter 2, verse 11. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were being forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. Moses is literally a murderer. You need to see, David often gets, we sort of throw David under the bus for being a murderer because at least David didn't put hands on a guy. Moses put hands on a guy. He murdered him. It doesn't say how he did, but he murdered a guy. Now we're talking about Moses, a guy who later is described as a friend of God or friendly with God. So just so you know, it doesn't matter what you've done, you can turn it around. But that's not what this sermon is about. All right, so Moses was literally a murderer. He knew his people, and he would visit his own people, and he was angry about his people being brutalized, and so he returned the favor. And his foster grandfather found out about it and tried to kill him. So Moses took off, and he goes, and he meets a nice young lady, and he moves in with them, and he marries, and he has a family, and he's doing the whole family thing. He's got wife and kids, and he's got a steady job as a shepherd. All right, so then we're going to catch up with Moses here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." Why is Moses talking to himself? Okay. Then the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Okay, so now this is where Moses' life changed, right? This is where all of the characters opened up for him. So Moses goes up to the burning bush. He's totally content in his life to stay where he's at. He wants to be the family man, do the family thing, just shepherd his sheep and shepherd his family and die. That's all. He was just interested in he and his. But here, when he met God, now God's going to open up everything to him. Okay, so now in this conversation that we're not going to take the time to read, God says, look, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to set my people free. I want you to get them out of slavery. That's what I want you to do. And Moses is like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he argues with God back and forth, so much so that God even gets a little bit angry at Moses here. And still, Moses is hard-headed. And he's like, no, I still am not going to go. I'm not going to do it. And then finally was like, look, take your brother with you. Your brother can go. Okay, so Moses relents. And he goes. Now we know, or at least most of us know, the amazing things that Moses did when he was here on earth. Moses did some awesome stuff here on earth. He did set the people, the Hebrews, free from the Egyptians. And you know, he wrote this book that we're reading. Moses was an incredible man of God, hands down. But he was at one point in his life content to just live for he and his. But when the Lord showed up, that's when the rest of the world showed up. He was content to be himself and to just worry about himself. But God come in. Okay. God drew him out, which is awesome. Okay, it's good news for us too. All right, now we're going to read some more scriptures. James chapter 3, verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that come from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. Now, honestly, the first place that I am reminded of when I read a sentence like that, wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind, is certainly the halls of our Congress. I mean, think about the terrible things that these people have been accused of. Now, none of them ever go to jail because they're all rich and they don't have to go to jail. Rich people don't go to jail in this country. But, like, just imagine the things, like, just the atrocities these people have been accused of, right? Every kind of evil. And what does it say? Disorder. If disorder doesn't describe our Congress, then I don't know what does. Like, you know, the last time I looked, Congress had like an 8% approval rating. Who are the 8% that approve of what is happening up there? Okay, that's too political. All right, leave it alone. All right, leave it alone. Okay, so, but nonetheless, where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. And so this can also happen in our hearts. Now, let me show you this. If I am the only one that matters, if I'm the center of the universe, if I'm the center of my world, if I'm the only one that matters, then nothing is out of bounds for me. I can treat you any way I want because I am the center. Okay, so you hear like every our whole culture right now is follow your heart. Do what you feel is best. You be you. There's slang after slang after slang that tells us that we should just be ourselves, follow your truth, do your thing, right? But that's not how it works, because when we are number one, then everything is permissible. Like, okay, so you break my heart, so I'm free to stab your tires, right? I don't care about your tires. They're not my tires. They're your tires. You're an evil boss, so I'll quit and do whatever I want to do, right? Like, when we are number one, then we can use people however we want to use people. And this is how trafficking happens, because it doesn't matter what's wrong, how this is going to affect the person I'm trafficking. It only matters to me how I'm lining my pockets or how I'm feeling good over the decision that I've just made. There's no evil that's out of bounds when I am number one. And the same is true for you guys. When we are number one, evil happens. Okay? We hear all the time, follow your heart. The Bible tells us that your heart is deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah 17, your heart is deceitfully wicked. You can't follow your heart. Your heart will lead you into sin. Your heart will lead you into yuckiness. Your heart will lead you ugly places. Okay? Your heart's no good. Don't follow it. Follow the word. All right? Okay, let's read some more scriptures. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Don't be selfish. That's good, right? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Easter is the completion of our faith, right? Without Easter, there's no reason to be here, right? Okay, but because without the resurrection, without the death on the cross, there's no point in us celebrating Jesus, because he would have accomplished nothing without those two things. So we have to have those two things. But don't sleep on Christmas, because here's what happened at Christmas. Jesus, being God, okay, stepped down out of heaven and put on a human suit that he has to wear now for the rest of eternity. Jesus strapped himself to a human suit forever. Now, he was forever being worshipped. He was forever with his dad. He was forever being glorified, and constantly people were praising him, And he stepped down out of that to be in one of these, right? And this itches, right? And it's annoying. We have to go to the bathroom, and we need sleep, and like, how annoying is it to be human, right? It's uncomfortable. How many of you just wake up in the morning and something hurts for no reason at all, right? I'm mid-40s, and that's just, you just wake up, and you're just like, oh, gosh, why? I don't even know what, I didn't do anything. And then if you're old like Gene, you know, and we're back. All right. Short commercial break there. So, okay, where was I? Gene. Yes. I was talking about Gene. Flipping your Bibles to Gene chapter. I'm just kidding. Okay. Let's see. I talked about how Christmas. Oh, he put on this human suit. And how uncomfortable must it be to be a human when you're used to being God? Right, and now he's in a glorified body, and we'll have glorified bodies, and his is, I'm certainly more glorified than ours will be, but he's still in a body even now. He's still strapped to this human suit forever. Right? That's, man, what a waste it would have been for him to come to earth and live it all for himself. And you might remember, the devil offered him the whole earth, and he could have taken it. He could have set up an earthly kingdom and lived all of earthly's, you know, desires. He could have done that, and what a waste it would be. What a waste it would have been for him to do that. What a waste it would be for you to do that, to live your life all about you, right? It's not worth it to live it all about ourselves. Let's look at another scripture here. Matthew chapter 5, right? 14. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You are the light of the world. Now, if that doesn't give you something to live for, then nothing will. That gives you something to live for. You are the light of the world. You are. Right? I can't help you get your friends. I can't get your friends and your cousins and your stuff. I can't get them saved. That's your circle of influence, not mine. I have my own circle of influence. You You're responsible for your people, the people that God puts in your life. How, what a waste it would be to just walk by these people in your life and just let them stay grayed out. Get involved in that. It gives you something to live for. Jesus gives us something to be passionate about. He gives us something to care about. When Levi was about 3 months old, he had surgery on his hands, and he almost died. It was, without a doubt, the scariest thing I've ever been a part of. And if you've ever had a kid in the hospital or whatever, then you know, I mean, like, it's a horrible, horrible thing. And so we spent 5 days in the PICU because of that. And I remember thinking, like, man, the world needs to stop. Everybody needs to stop going to work. Everybody needs to just focus on my son or whatever. And so now here it is. How old are you? 12? Yep. So here it is 12 years later, right? And now whenever I drive past the hospital, and it's probably almost every single time I drive past the hospital, I remember being in the hospital with my son. And so what I do is I pray for the people that are in PICUs and NICUs. Like, I'm taking what Jesus gave me, and I'm using it for others. I'm taking my prayer, and I'm giving it to everybody else. Because right now, in America, right now, there's hundreds of people in PICUs and NICUs all across America right now. And they're scared to death that their child is going to die. And, like, that's a morbid thing, right? But because of my experience, I can take my life now and use it to pray for these people. Right? Or whenever I get on an airplane or whenever I drive past an airport, I'm reminded of, you know, times I've gone places. And so, you know, there's maybe, whatever, I'm just making up a number, maybe 100,000 people in the air right now all over America, just, and all over the world. There may be 1 million people in the air when you talk about the world. And so, like, Father, I pray for these people who are in the air. I pray, God, that there's a Christian in every other seat on every plane in the world. God, you know, there are missionaries leaving today to go on their missionary trips. There are missionaries coming home today. And I don't know them. I just, you know, the odds are in the favor that that's what's happening. God, there are people that are going to try to reconcile with their families. God, I pray for these people. Help them to reconcile. You know, and they're going from everywhere, from San Francisco to Denver, from Dallas to New York, from Miami to Atlanta. They're all over the world. People are flying around, and those people matter to us. And they're nobody. We don't even know them, and yet they matter to us, right? But now let's bring it home. You're in Lafayette, Indiana, and you're driving from, you know, wherever to wherever, and you pass people walking on the street. Those people are your people, right? And maybe you don't feel comfortable stopping, and give them a ride or whatever, but you got time to pray. You're just sitting in your car. You're not doing anything else. You're driving, and you shouldn't be on your phone. So, let those people become part of your story, because God gives us something to live for. Or your story, like my story with the PICU. So now, whenever I come across somebody who is going through that, like, at this time, then my story becomes applicable in their life. And I can use my story for somebody else. Or you know, whatever your stories are, you're the addiction that you went through, the terrible thing that you've gone through, the loss of a parent or a grandparent, the whatever it is, now your story becomes applicable in their life. Right? If we take all of our life experiences and all that Jesus has given us and we sit on it, then, man, what a waste that is. But no. Jesus gives us something to live for. He makes life exciting. Like, if it weren't for church and stuff, I'm not going to camp next week. If it weren't for Jesus, I'm not going to camp next week. I get to go to camp next week. That's exciting for me. I'm sure some of you are like, oh, no, that would be terrible, right? But that's how I feel about sort of like children's ministry. Like, oh, man, that would really struggle back there. But that's not my story. That's your story. He gives us something to live for. He gives us something to be happy for. So that's what I got for you this morning. So, Rebecca, let's do the thing. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to have a little altar call here. I'm going to pray for you. And here's what I'm praying this morning. Here's what I want you to move on this morning. Here's what I want you studying over. Am I living for myself? Because what a waste. What a waste. I mean, you're cool, but you're not that cool. Like, your experiences, God gives you your experiences to share with others. God gave you some Jesus to share with others. And so don't keep it all to yourself. Don't be selfish. Consider others better than yourselves. That's what the Bible says. So this morning, I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing. And it doesn't seem like you guys like coming up here. That's fine. I don't care. I really don't. If you want to come up here, great. If you need to meet Jesus for the first time, you come on up here. Man, nobody's going to make fun of you if you come up here, I promise. We're here to celebrate with you. If you need Jesus for the first time, you've never met him, and you need something to live for, and he's the one, he's the thing, then you come on up here, and I will introduce you to him immediately. If you've been living this selfish life, and you're all about you, it's time to let that go, because that's going to lead you nowhere but to more and more evil. And we don't want that for you. All right, I'm going to pray, then we're going to sing a song. And you guys move towards Jesus. I don't care how your physical bodies do that, but make your hearts move towards Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, we love you, God, and we surrender ourselves to you. God, we are nothing in and of ourselves. God, we don't even have anything. You gave us everything that we have. And so, Father, I pray over the next couple of minutes here while we sing this song, God, that our hearts would connect with you and we would give up. God, that we would stop fighting and stop living for ourselves, but God, live for you. Give ourselves away for you and your cause. God, it is by your glory that everything happens here. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can stand up. I fall apart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, you are good. God, you are good. Man, we give you our whole hearts, God. You are everything, Father. We're an empty shell without you, God. Praise you that you met with us here this morning. God, we love you. We surrender ourselves to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.